is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Everybody, and welcome to the Clark Howard Show. It is Thanksgiving week. My name is Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark this week. So excited to be with you as we have our run-up. We've been doing this every year for 14 years, I think, and it is a joy to be back. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. My website is thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. We would love to have you join us. Phone lines are open, taking all of your calls today, and if we can help out, we'd love to do that. And Thanksgiving week, we have some things that we normally do this time of year. We'll be talking turkey a little bit later on. My turkey recipe is up at thinklink.com. Just go to the search engine and type turkey, and it'll pop right up. And I'll run through some of my little Thanksgiving dinner tricks for you if you're going to be doing your shopping later today, like I have been doing all day. I'm sure you're going to find these ways to save money when you're doing a big Thanksgiving dinner very helpful. In addition, as you may have heard, Friday is Black Friday. This is the day when all of the retailers supposedly go from being in the red to being in the black, and the last 5-6 weeks of the year is supposed to be all profit. Is it going to be the case this year? Not quite sure, but Black Friday is changing, and now people are talking about Black Thursday, so we're going to talk about that as well. Where I wanted to start today, excuse me, is with a story about something that happened to me yesterday that has taken a day to unravel, and I think it's a great example of what you have to watch out for these days, both with automation and with car rentals. Now, there are we're hearing that more people are on the road, but they're going further away and they're doing more driving. I have to say, I'm sure the flights have been sold out for weeks if you are flying somewhere for Thanksgiving. But for those of you who are renting a car, listen to what happened to me yesterday. I'm flipping through the mail, and I've done a huge amount of traveling this year, and I've rented a lot of cars, and I usually rent from Hertz because I have a good discount with them, and it's usually just about as cheap as I can get, and so that's great. So I was in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago, and I reserved a car at Hertz, and my plane was late, really late. So the plane was supposed to get in around 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, and we didn't even land in San Francisco until after 12 or 12:30. There was a mechanical problem, and then they ended up switching equipment, always a fun thing. And I didn't actually think they were going to switch the equipment, and they didn't. And by the time I landed, I was already 45 minutes late for a lunch meeting, and instead of picking up the rental car, which by then I'm sure had dumped, I just got into a cab and I took a very expensive cab ride all the way to where I was going to go. So I took a cab back to the city, and then that Friday I actually rented a car. Sam and the kids came out and we drove down to Stanford to take a tour of Stanford, which is a really beautiful campus if you've never been there before. So I get a letter yesterday from a company that says HertzRentalFine.com. And it's like this little letter, and it says that I owe $30 for a traffic violation, a parking violation, excuse me. Parking violation happened in the middle of this time that I was in San Francisco, and it was from Redwood City. And I'm thinking to myself, the day that I drove a car, I wasn't in Redwood City. And anyway, it wasn't that day. It was 2 days later. And I start looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, I never even rented this car. This isn't my car. So I call up Hertz, and I get some person, and I say to her, this isn't my car rental. And they said, no, we see it in here. It's this and this. And I said, but I never picked up the car. They said, really? I said, yeah, I can send you the taxi receipts to prove it and show you when I actually landed. I actually had all that information. And she said, oh, fax the receipts, and she gave me a number. And I thought, we hung up, and I thought, you know, I'm just not going to leave it to that, right? All we've heard in the news is how big companies don't really get the faxes. You send them, and I just wasn't satisfied. I wanted it all wrapped up. I call back again, and I get a guy, can I speak to a manager? This sounds familiar. It's exactly what Clark and I tell you to do all the time, right? Can I talk to a supervisor? Can I talk to a senior supervisor? I finally get somebody on the phone, and he listens to my problem, and he says, okay, I'm going to call, you need to call the San Francisco Airport Hertz directly. So he gives me the number. Okay, so I hang up, and I call that number, and I just get a recording that leads me all the way back to customer service, right? We've been there, right? Customer service, never-ending circle of death. That's what it was. Okay, so I get another guy on the phone named Steven, and I say to him, now I really want to talk to a senior supervisor. And he says, well, I'm the senior agent on the floor. Tell me your problem. So for the third time in an hour, I'm telling my sob story of how there's this $30 thing. But I said, but really, it occurs to me that this car was stolen off your lot, and I'm being charged. And then I had, by that time, looked up on my credit card statement, and sure enough, I'd been charged for this. So I said, I think this car was stolen off the lot, and I was charged, and you guys didn't catch it. So he puts me, these guys all have backdoor phone numbers. They tell you they don't, but they do. And so I get to a guy named Mike, who's the manager in San Francisco, and he's on vacation this week, who was lovely, by the way. And all of these people were very, very lovely to talk to. And he listens to my story, and he says, I can understand why you would be frustrated. This sort of thing happens about once every 3 or 4 months, so 2 or 3 times a year, where we just, whoever's checking out the people simply does not match the driver's license to the rental car receipt. So I'm going to put through a reversal of this. But unfortunately, all of the big car rental companies have hired this outside company. And this outside company is the one that handles parking violations. So you're going to have to go to them directly. But just send them a note, contest it, tell them it's been reversed and that this was not your charge and you didn't actually rent this car, and we'll take care of it on our end. So that's what I've done, and so now it's all being taken care of. But it's such a great lesson, right? Because I tried to cancel this reservation. I couldn't. Online, it just wasn't working. Sometimes, it just doesn't work online. And I'm trapped in an airplane, so there's nothing I can really do about it at the time. Get to find out, just not even 2 weeks later, that this has happened in the oddest way possible, and it's really about getting on it right away. Now, the piece of paper that says I have this rental fine, it was issued 2 days ago, and I only have until the end of the month. I seriously got it yesterday, and I'm supposed to pay the $30 by the end of the month. And so you really have to look at your mail. Good lesson here. Look at your mail. Take care of these things right at once. Push through. Be very nice and polite, but push through until you get a result that makes you happy. Keep working your way up the food chain till you get somebody who's in a position of authority, in this case, the guy who runs the San Francisco Airport Hertz rental facility, and document everything. I have everybody's names. I know their phone numbers. I've got the names of their eldest children. I don't know if that, but it's just a great lesson. And so even these kinds of wacky things can happen, and what it pulls out is this idea that there's actually a much bigger issue out there, which is that somebody took this car in my name, and thankfully they didn't have an accident. They just got a parking ticket. 404-872-0750. It's 14 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. Let's go to the phones. David joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, David. Welcome to the Clark Howard Show.
Hey, Elise. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Now that I've got my little car rental snafu fixed.
That was a bummer. Big time mess. But I'm so glad you're filling in for Clark, because I have a real estate question. Here's the thing. I'm one of those guys basically dealing with the same thing. I'm doing the appraisal. I did the appraisal on my property, and it came lower.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a choice. It's a big claim. I have the money that I could bring it down to 80%, but we're talking about a lot of money, you know?
How much money are we talking about?
We're talking about $40,000.
Okay, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. And, but luckily by God's grace, I have it, but here's the situation. I don't know. Some people are telling me, hey, don't do it, hold on to the money because it's, times are tough. And then I hate PMIs,
Oh, PMI has gotten really expensive.
Exactly. And then another thing is my wife has a student loan of $32,000, and that is at 6.8, and this is like at 4.5. for 30 years and 4% at 15 years. And I'm just like, should I just go ahead and pay the student loan? And then, that's my question. Just basically there's no right answer I know for this, but
well,
can you advise me?
What's your interest rate right now on your mortgage?
It's 6.25, and it's a 10-year interest only. So I will be saving regardless,
A 10-year interest only.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see you lock in on a 4% 15-year loan. I'd really like to see you do that. And with the money that you're saving,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to see you start to prepay that student loan.
Okay.
How much are you going to save?
Well, it's really not a saving, because if I go from a 15, if I go from that to a 15, it, you know, we're paying a lot more.
Okay, so that's too much. So what about a, what does the third year look like in terms of savings? If, let's assume you pay down the 40 grand.
If I pay down the 40 grand, yeah, we are saving like $400 a month, you know.
And how many years do you have left on your loan as it is?
It's 25, and you see the thing about it, it's 10-year interest only, and it's supposed to go up in 5 years, and it's going to be like going up way too much, you know.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't risk the 5 years. I, you know, honestly, I think interest rates are going to be low for a while, but not 5 years. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
This, I think I'd like to see you lock it in, even if you did a 30-year loan.
Mm-hmm.
You've got $400 a month. That's $4,800 a year extra that you can throw at your student loan.
Yep.
And try and pay that off really quickly. I mean, $5,000 a year you could just pay it off. I would put the money towards getting to 80%, because if you're not going to be at 80% in your mortgage, there's absolutely no reason to refinance, because you won't get any savings at all if you have to pay PMI.
Yeah, I won't get any savings. You're right, as far as the payment is concerned. But then I will not have the risk of my payment going up to $2,600, you know?
Yes, which is terrible. That's why you have to lock that down, because that's actually a really serious thing. And plus, you're not really, you know, you're not putting any equity towards that property, are you? You haven't. It's interest only.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think...
I've been paying a little bit more, so it's bringing it down, but not as much. But the $40,000, you know, paying down, yeah, definitely will get, you know, and I could even do a 20-year at $40,000. I could still be in a comfortable position.
If you do a 30-year and you just, you know, get rid of the student loan at 6.8% and then turn your attention to the 30-year loan, I think you'll still pay it off in 20 to 25 years.
Oh, yeah, because I can definitely pay more, and I can see the thing. Here's the question about PMI. Some of the people are telling me that it's minimum 5 years you have to pay. Now, this is going to be a conventional loan. It's not FHA or anything like that. So,
yeah, I think it could be 5 years to pay, at least.
Okay.
But I think it's hard to get rid of, and it's really, really expensive. So I think I would rather see you lock it in if you can swing it without the PMI and go with that. And then once you have the savings of the mortgage locked into place, and I want you to shop around for the very best deal, then turn your attention to the student loan and try prepaying that one, because even though it's 6.8%, it's not 16%. It's still higher than what you're doing on the mortgage. Get that loan all paid down, and then you can take the savings, the $400 a month, plus whatever you were paying towards the student loan, all of that, you can then turn your attention back to the mortgage and start paying that thing down like crazy. And I just think you're going to be debt-free sooner than you know, which is going to be amazing. Thank you so much for your call, David. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glenk, sitting in for Clark. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glenk on News Talk WSB.
25 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glenk, sitting in for Clark today, tomorrow, and Friday. So glad you're here with us. 404-872-0750. We're going to be talking turkey in a little bit, and also some tips for shopping on Black Friday. You'll want to stay tuned for those. Cheryl joins us on the line all the way from Florida. Hey, Cheryl, welcome to the Clark Howard Show.
Hi, Elise. Thank you for having me.
Sure. What can I do?
My situation, we sold a company back in 2008, and the individuals that purchased it defaulted, which left us holding about $90,000 in debt.
Okay.
It was initially set up as credit card accounts with our business. I was a sole proprietor for the first 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and then we incorporated. That debt was initially credit cards, even though it was used for the business. I have a good credit rating. My credit score is 769.
Okay.
I've been able to keep up with paying the payments, but that's becoming harder and harder. I have a family member willing to help us pay off this debt, but what I want to know, is there a way to negotiate with the credit card companies to discount the amount we owe them without it adversely affecting my credit score?
No.
No.
No. If you can talk to them, but you would have to be... For them to even pay attention to you, because you're on time right now. So in their mind, with their risk people, you're going to keep being on time because you've been on time. So
right.
If you call them and you say, I'm going to default, they're going to say, maybe you are, maybe you're not. So then you're going to default, and now 30 days, your credit rating is going to tank.
Right.
And then you're going to be 60 days and 90 days, and around 120 days of you not paying anything, they're going to go, oh, I wonder if she wants to do a deal. And then you'll offer them 50 cents on the dollar, but it'll be too late for your credit by that point.
Right.
I don't see them negotiating with you and just saying, okay, we're going to take $45,000 of the $90,000 and we're going to mm-hmm. report it paid in full. I just don't see that happening.
Right. So really, other than defaulting, you're going to pay the whole thing.
I think.
And at this point, with our income versus our debt ratio, our credit score means nothing. Because we can't go out and borrow money. We own a commercial building totally free, and we tried to borrow against it and
yep.
couldn't because they look at, oh, what's your income versus your debt? And we're like, this is crazy. It's a catch-22.
It is a catch-22, and you have a really wonderful asset that you don't want to lose. I mean, what will
right.
happen is if you default, they'll just come after you for the assets that you own.
Oh.
So you would end up with a lien against the property, and that would be a problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
And is that property rented at the moment?
It is. It's free and clear, and it's rented under lease.
Okay, so it's bringing in some income. But I could certainly see them suing you for that asset and trying to recover the entire amount. Meanwhile, you've damaged your credit rating and all the rest. So you're in a pretty sticky situation. But the quick answer to your question, unfortunately, is no. What you should do about it, I think, is a longer conversation that I'd be willing to have. And you can find me at thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned for more of the Clark Howard Show on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Everybody, to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark this week. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. So great to have you around. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, or online, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to tweet. My handle on Twitter is at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, and I have been responding to some of the Clark listeners as we've already been going on today. Which is great, talking a little bit about the economy and what's going on. So if you'd like to join that conversation, at G-L-I-N-K, you can tweet me and I will be able to pick it up directly. And we'll be talking on Twitter later on this afternoon as well. 404-872-0750, let's go back to the phones. Chris joins us on the line. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, over the past week, I've been having an issue with my cell phone company. Went in to get a replacement phone, and they said, okay, well, it's going to have to be a refurbished one since your current phone's having problems. Okay.
How old is your current phone?
About 6 months.
Okay.
The tech support people even said, yeah, it's an issue with the phone, so go to one of our corporate stores, they'll give you a refurbished phone, and just be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Went into the store, and they handed me the phone, and I looked through it, and it still had somebody else, the previous owner's list of contacts in there, about 200
really?
People. Still had personal information like bills, other important numbers.
Oh, my gosh.
But the kicker was it still had their pornographic pictures in the picture gallery.
Oh, no, really?
And then
while you were standing in the store, did you pass it around so everybody could take a look?
I'm not that mean. But I looked at the manager in the store and mentioned, okay, is this a common occurrence for y'all? And they're like, oh, that's no big deal. It's just a refurbished phone. So I'm sitting there like, okay, I'm telling you that what phone you're trying to sell me has somebody else's stuff in it, that's no big deal.
I think it's kind of a big deal, although really totally hilarious because it didn't happen to me.
It really was. But so I told him.
The manager just didn't see a problem with handing you a refurbished phone that had pornography all over it.
None whatsoever.
Let alone the personal information.
Exactly.
Excellent. So what happened next?
Well, I told him to keep the phone, just give me mine back, and I would get in touch with, you know, either customer service or somebody higher up and let them know, hey, y'all's corporate store just did this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, called customer service, or at that point it was, as Clark says, customer no service.
Oh, yeah.
Spoke to three different supervisors, and all three of them told me, well, I'm the highest one up, so I'll send this little email out to our higher-ups, and they should be getting back to you in about a week. So today I called up the customer service department again and say, hey, I haven't gotten a phone call from anybody or anybody telling me y'all are investigating this. They never even sent anything out.
Excellent.
So I requested a phone number to their corporate office, and they're like, well, we don't have a number to give out to our customers for our main office, but we have an address. And I was, okay, what is it? A P.O. box.
So
it's not
my,
even an actual street address.
So, Chris, my response at this point is you're trafficking in pornography and personal information. I would like to speak to somebody else, or give me the toll-free number, and I'm going to call and discuss this with your fraud department, because you're also passing out somebody else's personal information. You haven't cleaned up this phone. Did you try that?
I've told them everything from, I need to talk to somebody in y'all's fraud department, I need to talk to your boss, I need to talk to the corporate office.
And they wouldn't put you through to anybody?
I even went as far as saying, okay, am I going to have to sit here and hire a lawyer and take you people to court? Sit here and get a phone number?
Well, I have a couple of other ideas for you. So, first of all, have you gone on to Twitter being one of my very favorite things, gone on to Twitter and looked for the company and see if they tweet and on Facebook? Have you done that yet?
No, I have not, because I think I'm about the only person in this country that does not use Twitter.
Well, do you use Facebook?
I do Facebook.
All right, so Twitter is a free thing, and you can sign up. And the whole point of signing up is to then go and search and see if this company has a Twitter handle and somebody on it. And most major corporations, I would say almost all of them now, have a social media strategy. They have at least one person who's in charge of it, if not a whole team of people. And their whole job is to literally respond to customers on Twitter and Facebook and make sure that people aren't causing a ruckus on there.
Okay.
Causing a ruckus on Twitter, not as hard to do as you might imagine, but seriously, these people are trained to get back in touch with you and solve your problem before you tweet it to everybody else in the world. So I would encourage you to look on Facebook and see if they have a corporate profile, and go on Twitter and see if you can find it there, and tell them what the problem is. And when you write the word porn, put a hashtag in front of it.
Okay.
Because that would be a really good way to go. Now, as I'm sitting in Twitter and I'm looking at this now, and somebody just tweeted who's listening to the show, was the refurbished porno cell from a different, one company. I had a similar occurrence myself and got nowhere. So, shame on me. I didn't know this was such a common thing with your cell phone that you could lose a drop of a hat, but apparently it's not just you. But I do think that apparently not. So Twitter and Facebook are good. And then the other place you might want to try is a website that Clark loves that I actually haven't thought about in a while, called GetHuman.com.
Okay.
And what GetHuman.com is, it has phone numbers, shortcuts, tips, contact information, reviews, customer service details for thousands of companies worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some phone numbers, I'm sure, for the company that you are looking at. And they also, what they do with those phone numbers is they also have people rate them and tell you how good they are about getting to a human from those phone numbers that you're using. So those are my three suggestions for you to try and get this solved. And if you can't get it solved, guess what? I'm here tomorrow and I'm here Friday, and we could take it to the next level.
I hope we don't have to take it to the next level. I hope this will work. I mean, I'm still just kind of in shock that they handed me that phone, and the store manager at one of their corporate stores just kind of blew it off like it was no big deal.
I, I know. It's absolutely amazing to me that you could be in that kind of a situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't change. I'm just amazed that people, I mean, obviously I'm really concerned about the personal information mm-hmm. and the bills and all that. I mean, you could actually find this person and say, hey, by the way, they wanted to give me your phone and it had all your information on it.
I'm sure. You know, I didn't think about getting any of those numbers and writing them down and trying to find out who had that before.
Because you're an honest guy.
Until like a day later.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
But, well, I will try those, and thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. This has actually been one of the most entertaining calls I've had in a while, and I really want to know what happened, and I know everybody else who's listening wants to know as well. And because we're already getting tweets that other people have had this similar sort of experience, you really should know you're helping the greater good. So if you can, give us a call back and let us know.
Will do. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling the show, and happy Thanksgiving. 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Frank joins us on the line from Peachtree City. So, Frank, I don't know. Can you beat that one?
Well, I get inundated with postcards, letters, and phone calls. In fact, the phone calls, if it's an 800 number, I don't answer it.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering how some of these people make some money, because I've gotten two postcards for used clothing. I get credit card offers from everybody and his brother. Now it's Medicare change season, so they're sending out letters to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
To change Medicare, and political contributions, and also getting on the cable.
Well, have you ever dialed back on your junk mail by doing the opt-out protocol?
No.
So to decrease the amount of junk mail that you receive, you're going to want to go to basically the organization that is the basically the direct marketer's database, and you can opt out. And the way you do that is you call 888 the number 5,
mm-hmm.
OPTOUT, opt out. 888, which is a toll-free number, 5, opt out. And what that does is it allows you to request that you get taken out of these kinds of emails and letters so that you don't get inundated with all this junk mail.
I just wonder how these people that collect used clothing can make any money with all the phone calls and the postcards. There's several different. There must be half a dozen different people collecting clothing. How they can make any money out of the deal?
I'm sure that's not really the game. I don't know what their game is particularly, but I'm sure that's not the real game. I'm sure the game is to get and sell your information so that other people can send you junk. But doing the opt-out protocol will help.
Make a contribution to anything.
Oh, yeah, you can't. You can only do it once a year, and then when you choose to send it. And we always put in, when we do our end of year contributions, we always say, if you send us anything this year in the mail, we will never give to you again. And they don't, because they know we're serious.
Oh, okay, that's a good idea.
So that's another tip for you. We also make
sending the Frank's envelope back empty, but that doesn't help anything.
No. You really have to send a note and just say, if you send me anything this year, I will never give to your organization again. And those seem to be the magic words, and that will certainly help you, I think, solve your problem. Thanks so much for your call, Frank. Happy Thanksgiving to you. 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with the calls. Chris joins us on the line from Jasper. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Elise. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
The question I have for you, I'm a clergy member at a church here in Jasper. And we're about to be ordained and that sort of thing, and I've been told that I have the option to opt out of Social Security. I'm kind of subcontracted by my church, and so I pay the self-employment tax, the 15% Social Security. So
uh-huh.
My question is, would it be smart for us, for me and my wife to, or for me, to opt out of that Social Security and instead invest that 15%? In a Roth IRA or mutual funds or whatever. I'm not sure what the pros and cons are of that. I've heard some rumors like if you opt out of Social Security, then you can't qualify for Medicare in the future and that sort of thing. So what's your advice for that?
Well, the big issue isn't really... How old are you? You sound sort of young.
I'm 27.
27. You know, at 27 years old, it seems like, you know, you've got a long way to go. And
right.
I'm sure you're not, at this point in time, if you've chosen the church, I'm sure you're not thinking that you're going to make millions of dollars over your
right.
lifetime.
Exactly.
The thing about Social Security is it isn't just for when you, it kicks in for you when you're at the low end of 62
mm-hmm.
or the high end of, you know, 70, depending. It's that if something should happen to you over the next, let's say, 5 years, and you become severely disabled, and you're not part of the Social Security system, then I believe you would also not qualify for Social Security disability
right.
and some other issues. And I don't think you would want to do that.
Okay.
It just seems like that would not be what you'd want to do. Now, the other side would argue, well, take your 15%. And by the way, you can still invest in a Roth IRA, but you could invest in your Roth IRA. You can invest in a regular IRA, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really about what happens to you before 62, because you could go a long way and save a lot of money on your own, and maybe it would be enough or maybe it wouldn't be enough. I personally wouldn't be comfortable with that, but that's me.
You know, and it seems to be like in that, and I've thought about that position as well, and in the field that I'm in, obviously in ministry, even with some sort of a medical disability, you know, it wouldn't really hinder the ministry that I could do, especially in the church. Like, I'm a youth pastor right now. And of course, you know, I heaven forbid something were to happen, but I know if there's some sort of a mental disability that were to happen or something like that, that would be something that I think would hinder what I could do in ministry. But, and it's physical impairment. I don't know that that would really hinder what I could do.
Well, let me put it to you in a different way. Are you married?
I am, yeah.
And do you have children?
I'm sorry, say again?
Do you have children?
I do. I have an 18-month-old.
Okay. So let's say, and this happened to me, my father died when he was 49 and I was 18. My sisters were 15. And let's say you have an untimely death. Your children would qualify, if you're part of the Social Security, for Social Security payments up until the time that they're 18. So I don't know if your wife works outside of the home or not, but part of the planning for a family is to think about really unpleasant things and what would happen financially because of them. Now, you can take your 15% and you can buy disability insurance, or you can buy a life insurance policy for $500,000 or $1 million, whatever it is, and that's what you can do for the next 30 years, and you can cover for some of that. But I think you and your wife should sit together and actually take out a pen and paper and work through these numbers so that you have a real solid understanding of what will happen financially if something happens and you can no longer work or no longer do this, or if you die. Because that's really where what we're talking about. We're talking about a social insurance contract and what happens when that breaks. 404-872-0750. Happy Thanksgiving, Chris. 51 minutes past the hour. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glink on News Talk WSB.
56 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark. I'll be here tomorrow and Friday to walk you through Thanksgiving. Turkey coming up in a few minutes. So we've had a whole bunch of activity online at my Twitter account. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, and feel free to follow me. Nick said that we were talking earlier about how to find somebody who doesn't really want to be found in a company. We had a caller call in who had gotten, and maybe you heard this earlier, he had a cell phone, they got a refurbished cell phone, and had somebody's personal information and their pornography all over it, and he wanted to complain about it, and he couldn't get anybody high enough up to both get him a new phone and to complain about this. I recommended GetHuman.com and to go to Twitter.com and Facebook and work with the people online there. Nick said, try GetSatisfaction.com. He's found that to be a really good website to voice complaints. And he says that some companies do handle their problems, their customer no service problems through that as well. So that would be something that you might want to try as well. But really, when it comes down to it, what you want to do is figure out what is going to get you exactly what you want. So in this case, it's you want to complain about something and you'd like to get a refurbished phone that doesn't happen to have somebody's pictures on it. Doesn't seem that unreasonable. Just keep at it. Remember the story I told about my own car rental at the top of the show? You got to keep at it to find the right person to get what you want. 404-872-0750. When we come back, we're going to talk about Megabus, which is now literally selling bus tickets for a buck all over the Southeast, and how you can get that deal. Coming up next, I'm Elise Glink. This is the Clark Howard Show. News Talk WSB.
This is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour, 2:07 this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark Howard today, tomorrow, and Friday. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. So glad you could join us. We'll be talking turkey in a little bit. Stay tuned for that. Some Black Friday tips. Actually, they're now calling it Black Thursday because everybody is so upset. Apparently, there was a 90,000 people signed a petition saying that they were very unhappy that they had so many stores were actually opening up on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. It seems like nothing is sacred anymore. Before we get to that, and we'll be taking your calls as well at 404-872-0750, and we're having a very active conversation going at Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. You can follow me, chat with us. We're talking about the show online. And happy to have you join us. I wanted to talk for a minute about Megabus. So Megabus, somebody called in asking about Megabus. They'd heard about it. They didn't really know anything about it. They were wondering if it was legitimate. They heard they could buy a ticket on for a bus ride somewhere for as little as a dollar. Well, actually, so let me go back. Megabus has served more than 12 million customers. And what they do is they are basically coaches, and they you can basically buy a ticket on there. So if you buy far enough in advance, they have a couple of seats for a buck on each bus, but then the prices start rising as you get closer and closer to the date you're supposed to leave. So it might be $3 or $5 or $9 or whatever. But they're all over the Southeast. They have a couple of stops in places, in other places. They do Canada. They go a little bit north, but mostly in the Southeast. And so what they're doing is they're running a special promotion now that's ATL10K. ATL10K, that's the code number. And basically, according to the promotion, they're giving away 10,000 free seats up through December 16th just for the booking fee of 50 cents. But you've got to find the seats that are available and try and figure out when you can actually go. Now, Joel, who's the producer of the show, told me that he and his wife got seats for a buck, and they're going over Christmas, a buck each, to go visit somebody, family member over Christmas, and they were so excited because it's saving them like $90 in gas. They were going to drive, but instead they're going to take the Megabus, and they're going to save all that money. So if you're interested in seeing what Megabus has to offer, Clark loves them, Megabus.com, Megabus.com. 10 minutes after the hour on the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phone. Sonny joins us on the line from Woodstock. Hi, Sonny. Sonny, you there? Maybe not. Let's try again in a minute. Yvette joins us on the line. Hey, Yvette, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to the Clark Howard Show.
Hi, thank you.
What's on your mind today?
Well, my husband and I are trying to purchase our first home. And I have $30,000 in cash.
Good for you.
We have 16 things on our credit report. I want to pay off 10 of them, which will total $12,000. And he wants to pay off one, which will total $23,000. We want to know which one is the best one to pay off.
All right. So you want to pay off how many things again?
Ten
things for $16,000?
$12,000.
$12,000. And he wants to pay off one thing for $23,000.
Correct.
And you want to know which is better for your credit history?
For our credit history.
Which?
Yes.
What are these things? Can you be a little bit more specific?
Well, the 10 is revolving credit, bills, old things that have been on our credit report that we haven't been so faithful in paying. So it's mostly negative debt. The 1 is our van.
Are you on time with that payment?
Yes. It comes out automatically. The rest of them are, you know, student loans, so we don't have to pay those right now.
Are you on time with those?
That's correct.
You need to pay off the stuff that's late.
That's what I was thinking.
You need to pay off, so you've got $30,000 in cash, and if you pay off those 10 items, do you know what your credit score is right now and what your husband's
it's
is?
It's in the mid-600s.
Mid-600s? Yeah, I think you want to try and get yourself over 700.
Me too. I think that would be best for us, but it's been hard trying to convince him.
Well, I think what you want to do is you want to get all the old stuff cleared off and paid in full. And it's stuff that you weren't really paying on time and in full anyway, so you want to get rid of it. And then you're going to have extra money because you don't have those payments that you're making each month or you're supposed to be making each month.
Right. Some of them we are. Others we're not. But.
Right. So the ones that you're not, you should pay off entirely. And the ones that you are, you should probably still pay off. So now you're going to have $18,000 left, but you're also going to have more money that you're not paying off each month. And I would start to throw that money at the $23,000.
Right. Okay.
And that will help pay that down faster. And then you should wait, while you're doing that over a couple of months, you should watch where your credit history and credit score are, because it's going to take 30 to 60 days, maybe even a little bit longer, for that to start to have an effect, and for your credit score to start to rise.
Okay.
So over the next, like, say, 90 days, you're going to pay this off, you're going to start to see where you are, and then you should go to annualcreditreport.com. And get a copy of your credit history and then pull a copy of your credit score. And I would use the Equifax score because it's most similar to the FICO score, is my understanding.
Okay.
And that's the one that the lenders are going to use. And see where it is. And that's my best advice. So he gets what he wants, too, which is that you're going to start to pay down that $23,000 pretty darn quick. Now, have you thought about what you're going to buy and how much it's going to cost?
The house?
Yeah.
Yes, we found a house that we like.
Okay. And how much is that house?
The house is $100,000.
Okay. And is it a short sale? Have you made an offer on it?
A foreclosure.
Uh-huh.
That's owned by the bank.
Okay. So are they going to help you with financing?
We started off with one company, with a mega bank, and they kind of messed it up. So now that it's back on the market, we were able to be pre-qualified with another company, and now the house is $20,000 less.
Nice.
So we wanted to go ahead and, you know.
Well, I think that's great. So if you have $18,000... What you really want is $20,000. So you want to have a house that's $100,000 and you want to put $20,000 down.
Mm-hmm.
So if instead of paying off 10 things for $12,000, try to pay off, let's say, 9 things for $10,000.
Okay.
All the ones you're late at, but save 20. I want you to have $20,000 in cash to put down on the house so that you don't have to pay private mortgage insurance, which will be wildly expensive.
Oh, okay.
You will save big money by not paying private mortgage insurance. So key to anything is having $20,000 to put down and then paying off all the bills you've actually been late on.
Okay.
And that's where you should start. And then all the other money that you get, you should do what you can to save and start paying down all these other debts you have.
Sounds good.
All right. Let me know how that goes, Yvette. You promise?
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too.
All right, I will. Thank you. 16 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750 at the Clark Howard Show. Tony joins us on the line. Hey, Tony, welcome to the program.
Hey, Elise.
What's going on?
Well, I was listening a while ago when the young minister had called in and wanted to share some information that I've acquired over the years. I actually opted out of Social Security myself several years ago, and my father-in-law did as well. Now, it's my understanding, of course, I'm not up on the current the laws, but at the time that I opted out, you could freeze your Social Security benefits, and that's basically what happens is anything you've paid into. Now, obviously, I was a little bit older than 27 when I did it, but everything that you have paid into the Social Security program up until the time that you freeze your benefits or opt out, you don't lose. I mean, it's still there. My father-in-law actually, you know, he opted out, I think, in his 40s, and he literally, you know, was able to, you know, get Medicare, Medicaid when he got older, and he recently passed away, and he was in a nursing home. So, you know, it didn't affect any of his benefits. So at the time that I opted out, I was making a significant amount of money in a business that I was in, and I was about to pay $8,500 in Social Security taxes for that 1 year. And so I thought, you know, I know how much I'm going to get if I become disabled. I know how much my family would receive should I die. I'm going to take that money and do something different. And I was glad at the end of that conversation that you said that you could buy disability insurance and you could buy life insurance, which, you know, you got to be healthy to do that.
Right.
And I was healthy, and I actually went to a company and bought disability insurance that would pay me. It was going to pay my mortgage. I bought mortgage insurance, which would pay the house note, which is like $2,400, and then I got me a significant amount of income should something happen to me that was, you know, equivalent to what I was making for, you know, just a, you know, $30 a month. So, you know, the decision for me to opt out and not pay that kind of money into a system that may be broke when I retire or whatever, or provides a little benefit, you know, I think was a smart decision on my part. Now, I don't know if everybody would be disciplined enough to, you know, invest the difference, or if they go out and buy a new car or whatever, then obviously they need to stay in the program. But if somebody's disciplined enough to actually put money aside, you know, buy the disability insurance and make those payments, and buy life insurance and make those payments, you know, then it's a good alternative.
It's really interesting what you've discussed. It didn't seem to me that Chris had ever had a job and ever put any money away into Social Security, and you do need a certain number of years before you actually even qualify for those payments or for anything real. I don't think he was anywhere near that. And with a young family,
old enough, yeah. When you said 27, I'm thinking, you know, I was in my mid 30s, and I started working when I was 12.
Right. I mean, there's a little difference there. Plus, you had a big income that year. I don't think in the ministry he's ever going to have that kind of, I mean, he might only make $8,500 a year,
yeah,
not pay $8,500 in Social Security taxes.
Right, right.
There are some differences, but I worry, you know, and as somebody who lost her father very young and watched my mother cope in having to get to work, I'm really sensitive to that kind of stuff. And I, you know, my feeling is, how do you prepare for those eventualities? Because that's, it may never happen to you. You may get lucky. But my experience now that I'm in my late 40s is that bad things happen all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the things that I did, I bought over $1 million worth of life insurance.
That's great.
So and all my children were at home at the time. Of course, they're all gone now. My last one just went to college.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to make some adjustments to my, you know, insurance portfolio so I don't have to care as much.
Right.
But, you know, you have to be disciplined. And it's my understanding that, number one, you can opt out as a minister, but if you cite religious reasons, you can opt out as well. So anybody basically can opt out. You don't necessarily have to be a minister.
As long as you're prepared and you've, you know, Tony, you've made that point so clearly. If you are prepared and willing to take on the responsibilities of having and buying and doing the kind of insurance stuff that you need to do to protect yourself and protect your family, you know, there are lots of different choices out there and lots of different ways to go. And I'm so glad you called in, because it really helps to have somebody who's walked that mile share their experiences. Happy Thanksgiving. 20 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glenk. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is WSB meteorologist Kirk Mellish. Rainfall expected to average a half to 1 inch, with isolated amounts over 2 inches possible tonight. Your complete forecast in 10 minutes on WSB or online at WSBRadio.com.
26 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. A longtime listener to the show, Bill, just sent me an email about that refurbished phone. You know, the one that had the personal information, bills, payments, oh, and somebody else's pornography on it. He said that there's another avenue the gentleman with the refurbished phone issues could take when he's talking to customer service. He needs to get a name and then tell that person he intends to find a local and or national consumer problem solver reporter and give them their name as a contact for working up a story in that particular cell phone company's lack of concern over turning over refurbished cell phones full of someone else's porn and personal information. That might give him the cooperation he desires. Bill, that's a great suggestion, and I actually think it's true that we might, that might help. That might help. But you also might be able to just simply on Twitter start to have a conversation in which you say the exact same thing. I really am such a believer in this Twitter thing, and usually what I should, and maybe what I should have done, is actually had him tell us the name of the company on air, and then we could have tweeted it, and you could have seen in real time. And when I've done this on my own show on Sundays, I'm amazed that we will get responses, even on a Sunday morning, either 11 to 1 or 12 to 2, when depending on when we're on. Well, even on a Sunday, somebody is monitoring these corporate Twitter and Facebook accounts. This is where some big money has gone, and the very best corporations are monitoring it because they have to, because you can't really control a Twitter feed. You just can't. And so all of the big cell phone companies have them, and regular companies. They have people monitoring 24/7 their Twitter feed and their Facebook pages. And so if you want to get somebody's attention, you would think that everybody would do this, but they don't. You know, the ones that I've helped with, you're really, it's not that many people who come across. So that means you're cutting through the red tape that much faster. And I encourage all of you, if you have these kinds of customer no service issues and problems, check it out. It just may work. 404-872-0750. Bill, thank you so much for that update. I encourage all of you to visit online at GLINK. That's my Twitter account. Or you can friend the Facebook page, Elise Glenk. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of the Clark Howard Show on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glenk, sitting in for Clark today, tomorrow, and Friday as we walk through Thanksgiving. So glad you could join us here. So much going on, for sure. We had a note earlier today that unemployment dropped in three quarters of the states last month, and there are signs that in some parts of the country we're seeing some job gains, but they're modest. So the unemployment rate fell in 36 states in October and rose in only five, so that wasn't so good. And rates were unchanged in nine states. But as mediocre as that is the best showing since April, when unemployment rates fell in 39 states. Now, nationally, the unemployment rate ticked down to 9% in October. It was 9.1%. But that is a little bit misleading. The U6, which is the broadest measure of unemployment, is still ranging about 16.5%. So that's really where unemployment lies. And employers only added a modest about 80,000 net jobs last month, even though the previous 2 months were revised to show stronger gains. Now, to put that in a little bit of perspective, you need at least 125,000 jobs, maybe even $150,000 jobs a month just to keep up with population growth. Okay, so there are a lot of people who are graduating from school. They come into the job market. They need a job. And that's like 125 to 150,000 people a month. Want to bring down the unemployment rate? You got to have at least double that to rapidly reduce the unemployment rate. So you would need 250 to 300,000 jobs a month. Now, Nevada has the nation's highest unemployment rate for the 17th month. It is unchanged at 13.4%. Then there's California at 11.7%. And then Mississippi and Michigan, both at 10.6%. That's not so great either. North Dakota, on the other hand, you want to move, want to get a job? Go to North Dakota. It has the nation's lowest unemployment rate of 3.5%. Nebraska is right behind it at 4.2%. Of course, the weather is not so good there right now in this time of year. It's in the 70s in Atlanta. It's in the 40s in North Dakota, and it's dropping sort of fast. So there are definitely some reasons, I think, that North Dakota has the nation's lowest unemployment rate. Employers added jobs in 39 states. Payrolls declined in 11 states. And, you know, people are wondering, you know, is this kind of pickup going to continue? And what's that going to look like? Now, the economy expanded a little bit slower than previously reported in the second quarter. So from July to September, it only expanded at about 2%. The earlier estimate was 2.5%. Not quite sure what's going on there. I was at a conference last week, and it was really clear from the really smart people in the room that most people don't think we're coming out of this anytime soon. The earliest time when it was projected that we were going to go back to normal, normal being defined for the economy as an unemployment rate below 8% and average home price appreciation across the nation, because it's already happening in some areas, but across the nation at 3% plus, that some people felt maybe wouldn't happen for 4 more years or as long as 10 more years. So this is a long, hard slog. And unfortunately, we can cheer the sort of small, steady measures that we're seeing, and we should. But we got to keep our eye on the ball. Until you start seeing jobs created at a rate of 350,000, 450,000 a month, we're really not going to bring down that unemployment level. 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Happy to take your calls today on the Clark Howard Show. Nancy joins us on the line from Florida. Hi, Nancy.
Yes, Elise. I recently remarried. I'm 65, and my husband is 68.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We both were widowed 7-8 years ago.
Nice.
And we did a prenuptial agreement. So we have kept our money separate, except that we did open a joint checking account, and we are sharing bills out of that. My husband sold his house, and he moved into my house. We are debt-free, except for the mortgage on my house.
And how many years left do you have on that?
Let's see, 25.
Okay.
Paying 5.9% interest.
Are you still working,
course,
or are you retired?
Well, I'm working part-time, and my husband is retired.
Okay.
We do have the capability of either paying off the mortgage or refinancing it. I'm paying 5.9 right now. So we're at what... With the 5.9, right now we're spending about $900 a month on interest.
Mm-hmm. And how is your cash flow?
Our cash flow is fine.
Okay.
So we could pay off the mortgage. Some people advise us not to.
Okay. How much do you have left in the mortgage?
162.
So that's a lot of cash to take out of savings, right? Or where would you have to take it from?
Savings.
And how much would you have left?
Let's see. Well, I probably would have $300,000 left.
And I think taking 25% of your savings and paying off this loan seems like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And is the savings that you're talking about yours personally?
Mine. Yes.
It's just yours?
Yes.
So... is your husband contributing to the mortgage payments now?
Yes, he is. We're sharing all bills, utilities, car expenses and so forth.
So if you pay off the mortgage, then he would stop contributing to that, or he would just pay for...
No, if we... No, he's willing to pay half toward half of paying off the mortgage.
Oh, I see. So
and then, okay, so then we would be mortgage-free, and we would continue to share all...
And share the other expenses. What I'm trying to get at is, it's sort of interesting. I mean, if something happens to you and your husband and you have a prenup,
yes,
and the house is paid off, you're in much better shape, right, in terms of cash flow. But you still, it sounds like if you refinanced, and let's say you refinanced to a 15-year loan at maybe 3.5%.
Okay.
Or, you know, I think you could easily get that.
Mm-hmm.
That should basically be the same payment you're making now or even less.
Okay.
And that house would be paid off in 15 years.
Yes.
At a virtually zero, I mean, 3.5% is pretty low.
Yes.
You could even do a 10-year loan if you really wanted to at
3%. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you'd have to see how that changes what you're actually spending and changes what you're doing. And then you keep all of your cash in your accounts and your investments, and maybe that's one good way to go. Because you really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you can always pay off your loan, right, because you have the cash. But the question really has to be, do you want to pay it off? Is that really in your best financial interest to pay that off and use up so much cash to only free up $900 or $1,000 a month?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you have to kind of think about how that affects what you're doing and whether that's a good idea. So you can refinance. I would go for a shorter-term loan at an extremely low interest rate. And that really kind of cuts back on the interest you're paying. So then it's almost like you're just paying cash for the house. You're just paying it over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to think about what happens if your husband dies or you die, and what happens. Does he get to stay in the house? Does he stay in the house, but he makes all of the payments? Do your heirs get the house and he has to leave? Like, there's other kinds of issues that you might want to discuss, or maybe you've already discussed them.
Yes, we thought we would, survivor would stay in the house, and then upon selling the house or death, then the equal share would go to each family.
Okay, of the house?
Of the, my children would receive half of the house, and his children would receive half.
What happened when he sold his house? Did you get half of the money?
No.
So why would his children get half of your house?
Well, because my house is depreciated so much, if I were to sell it, I would probably just come out with enough to pay the closing cost and the mortgage off.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's willing to either refinance with me or to...
So if he's going to pay off half the mortgage, then I understand him getting half. But if you're not going to pay it off, it's something to think about. I'm sure you guys have worked this out, but, you know, it's your house. You've been paying on it all these years. Giving half of it away may be the right decision, may not be the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're going to use all of your money to pay it off and not share it, then I'm not sure why you would do that. But
No. I was going to pay half of the mortgage, and he was going to pay half of the mortgage off.
Okay. And so then you would share, your children would share the property.
Right.
Okay. That seems fine. So your question to me is what you should do.
Yes.
I think it depends on whether you want to have an extra $1,000 a month in your pocket, which maybe you guys do, so you could travel or do other things with it, or you have a better investment in mind. Or do you sleep better at night knowing that you have $450,000 in cash sitting in a checking account or wherever it's sitting?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can't answer that for you, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, either way is a legitimate way to go.
Okay.
As long as you think it through and understand what it means. And if you say to me, even if I have $300,000 left over, plus our pensions and our Social Security, we're doing just, and my part-time income, we're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And you've worked all that out, then pay off the mortgage and get rid of that payment and have an extra $12,000 a year to play with.
Okay. very good.
All right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just,
thank you so much.
I hope there's been some clarity there, Nancy, and I wish you and your new husband a very happy Thanksgiving. 47 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Chris joins us on the line from Mapleton. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you, Elise?
I'm good. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a small business. I process about 15 credit cards a month, totaling about $900 to $1,000. I have been on a contract with a company that they're nickel and diming me to death. I'm not happy with them. I want to get rid of them. But to do that, at this point, I would like to get rid of them as of January 1. I'd have to cancel my contract.
Okay.
They have a $250 cancellation fee.
Really? When does the contract expire?
Well, it expires in March of next month, but actually what they're charging me in fees, it actually is cheaper for me to cancel.
Okay.
$150.
Mm-hmm.
I have been looking at other companies, and one of the companies that I looked at told me that there is a, in Georgia, that there is a way to get out of paying that cancellation fee. But, of course, unless I go with them, they won't tell me how. And they're not that they're a bad company, but they're not necessarily the company I want to go with or that I'm looking at first on my list.
Well, okay.
If you knew what that process was to avoid, at least a state-by-state type of thing.
I do not know. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't give you legal advice, and I don't know what this is. I don't run credit cards. But let me tell you something that I think might be a possibility. Have you ever heard of the Square?
No.
Do you use an iPhone?
Yes, I do.
So there's something called Square that attaches to your iPhone. And it allows you to take credit card payments anywhere you are with your mobile phone.
Right, and that is a good system. Unfortunately, my business is I sell a service, not a product. And mm-hmm. all of these customers are reoccurring every month. I have them, I have it basically programmed into my system so that I have their credit card numbers and all of the data that I need. I don't have their cards. So I don't swipe.
Right, but I think that you can actually I don't think you necessarily only have to swipe. I think you may be able to program it in the way you want to and just use the SquareUp system to process it.
Okay.
So it's a 2.75% per swipe for any credit card you use. They take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. And it pays out the next day. It's a free app and a pretty fast setup. And I just advised one of our clients who is selling books to do it, and he loved it. He used it at his book launch.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to look into it and try and get out of this idea that you have to have a contract, because there's really no contract here.
Right. Well, one of the companies that I'm looking at is a no contract, and I want to try them first because I was kind of backdoored into a 3-year contract, and the company that told me about this, that this was available, has a 2-year contract, and if I can avoid that, I would like to. So, but I was just trying to see if anybody else knew about this process. So.
I don't, but you know what? The Clark Howard listeners and the people listening to my show are the smartest people in the universe, and if they have a solution for you, I'm pretty sure we're going to hear about it, and I'll give the phone number out, 404-872-0750, or you can tweet me at Glink, at GLINK, or you can send me an email, and we'll read it so that everybody can learn at thinkglink.com. Chris, thanks so much for your call. It's 51 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back with more of the Clark Howard Show on News Talk WSB. 56 minutes past the hour in the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark today. We're going to do turkey. It just passed the news, so stay tuned for that. LaVon joins us on the line now from Tucker. Hi, LaVon. LaVon. Wow, that's weird. LaVon. Nope. She's not there, but some lovely music was. 404-872-0750. Monique joins us on the line. Hey, Monique, welcome to the program. Monique, you with us?
Yes, I am.
How are you? Yes, I can. Welcome to the Clark Howard Show.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help you today?
So my question is, are there any options for people like me? I want to buy a car, used, of course. I only have $500 down and with a credit score in a very, very, very low 500.
Ooh.
Yeah. Seems like buy here, pay here is about as good as it gets for me. And they have no problem telling you that, no, we're not going to lower the price with such a low down payment and being a high credit risk. So I just wondered, is there anything people like me can do? Probably not, but didn't hurt the call, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There might be something you can do soon in the next few months. There's a company that I work with called eCredable. eCredable, and they work with people like you to help them establish credibility in other ways, and not just through a FICO score, but through your rental payments that you do on time or your insurance payments. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to establish credibility. And once you do, then you're going to be able to work with different kinds of dealers, car dealers, that will be able to help you. So I want to say sit tight. The new year is going to be a better place. I would love to see you avoid a buy here, pay here kind of place, because I just hear so many horror stories, and I would hate for that to be you. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Blank. Stay tuned. I'll be back with more of the Clark Howard Show next on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
The Clark Howard Show. It is 7 minutes past the hour, 3:07 p.m. I'm Elise Glink. Thank you so much for staying with us today. I'll be here all week. Clark's taking a few days off around Thanksgiving. We'll talk a little bit about turkey in just a moment. And then, of course, we've got Black Friday coming up, and there's a whole hubbub stirring around the idea that stores are actually opening up on Thanksgiving and making people leave their families to come in so that other people can shop. So the whole idea of Black Friday is turning into an even blacker Thursday, and there's just really interesting conversations going on around that. My website, for those of you who have been emailing, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. And if you don't already listen to my show on Sunday mornings, you are missing out. What a treat. We're on from 12 to 2 for just another week, and then we go back to our regular time. Football will be over 11 to 1 on Sunday mornings. So we'd like to have you join us and check it out. So there's been quite the back and forth during the commercial break. Chris had called in. She has a small business. She processes about 15 credit card payments every month for a total of about $1,000. And she was trying to get out of a company, and I recommended having her look at Square, squareup.com. Online from Twitter, I've had a number of people, including Joshua, say that he hasn't quite found a way to do recurring billing with Square, but he thinks it's a great service. Scott uses Square as well. Scott joins us on the line from Alpharetta. Scott, what do you think about Square? Scott? I don't know where everybody's going today. Well, we'll have to just wait and see what Scott thinks about Square. But Deb wrote in on Twitter that she, for credit card processing, she likes Sam's Club and or Costco. Of course, it's the obvious choice, and I should have mentioned them. So those are good places to go as well. Turning to Thanksgiving, and thank you so much. You know, keep those comments coming in. And, of course, if you are using Square, we'll go back and figure that out. My turkey gets picked up on traditionally Wednesday mornings, and this year we have 25 people coming for Thanksgiving. So I'm making a huge bird. I've ordered a 24-pound bird and two 5-pound breasts for another, so a total of 35 pounds of meat. I just never like to get bigger than a 25-pound bird. It just, I don't know, they just don't cook up right. Everything gets burned. The oven's just not big enough. And, of course, I've always, every year I think to myself, this is the year I'm going to be doing it on the grill. This is the year that I'm going to deep fry it. There's so many great ways to cook turkey. So I wanted to, in the spirit of tradition, pass out my turkey recipe and tell you how I make turkey, because I do think it's one of the great turkey recipes out there. And you can find it on my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. All you have to do is type in turkey or turkey recipe into the search box, and it'll pop up. But here's the outline of it. Instead of brining my bird, I think the secret to it is making this margarine olive oil herb mash. You could do it with butter. You could just do it with olive oil. I really like to do all kinds of fresh herbs and putting it together, mixing it with some cut-up lemon juice, and you could throw in a little orange juice if you want, and the piles of these herbs, sage, rosemary, thyme, oregano, chive, whatever looks good, parsley's great, and 6 to 8 cloves of garlic. And I mix all that in my food processor until it forms a paste. And then I loosen the skin of the bird, I spread it all over, smear it all around the outside, underside, inside. I take the lemon juice rinds and I stuff them into the center of the bird. And once I've done all that, I flip the bird upside down and I roast it covered for maybe the first half of the time that you're roasting it. So for me, a 24-pound bird, it's usually about 2 hours at 375. And then I flip the bird, take off the tinfoil, and roast it at 300 degrees until it's done. And about every half hour, I baste the bird with a combination of turkey stock mixed with orange juice. And that just gives it this amazingly lovely golden color. Now, when I'm done, I like to deglaze the pan with some white wine. So I dump all the liquid and scrape up all the brown bits, and I put it in a big pot. I defat the liquid. I add a ton of mushrooms. I use a mix of wild and ordinary. And this I just boil all the way down until it's concentrated enough, and that's what I use as my gravy. I don't like a thick gravy. Typically, it takes 3.5 pounds for a 20-pound bird, 4 hours for a 24-pound bird. You know, I don't stuff my birds. I make my stuffing separately, and I make it with turkey stock, so it tastes like I've stuffed it. And then, if you want, I thought this was such a great suggestion from Cooks Illustrated. If you really want a stuffed bird and you want to serve it that way, stuff the bird after you've cooked it. Right, take the lemons out, it'll have kept the cavity whole, put in the stuffing, and you go to the table, and everybody's like, oh, you stuffed the bird, how did you do it? And you just don't have to tell them that you tricked it out. You just don't have to do it. 12 minutes past the hour, Joel says, I ruined the recipe by telling you you had to defat the stock. But it is what it is, folks. 404-872-0750. Scott joins us back online. Scott, you with us?
Yes, I am. I apologize for my discourtesy.
Not at all. We know everybody's a little busy today. So you use the square?
I love the square. It's very simple. I have one in the office. I have one in my briefcase. I wanted to share with you that it is 2.75% available a couple of days. But if the person doesn't have a card present, and some of my clients don't, then the fee goes up to 3.25.
Ah, I didn't know that.
The other very nice thing that I appreciate about it is since you're basically online, I can take any smart... I have an Android phone. Any smartphone, you can load it. And cool. While your client is sitting there, I'm a lawyer, mm-hmm. You can have them sign. You have a touch screen on your phone, and they basically sign a little receipt. And then I email that to myself, and then I forward it to my client. So we both have a record, and it even, with the GPS, it even shows you on a map where the sale was consummated.
I actually saw that happen at this book party that we were running for our client who's a book author, and I loved that they were able to, everybody was just sort of able to touch the iPad screen and sign it, and then they sent it off. It looked really cool. And it sounds like it could work pretty well.
It works for me.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Scott. I wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
And to you and yours the same. Thank you. I appreciate what you do for all of us.
Oh, thank you.
Your advice is wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. 14 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. Christina joins us on the line from Kennesaw. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
How are you?
I've been better, but doing okay now.
Well, tell me, why have you been better? What happened?
I found out over the weekend that somebody had stolen my identity. The amount of information that she has is just dumbfounding to me. I mean, she has had an ID made with her picture, but it has my driver's license number, my address, my information. She has my social security number. She has answers to personal information questions. She even put my mom's name down as a reference on one of the credit applications and then just put a different phone number next to it.
Do you know who this person is?
I have no idea. I actually I'm in Atlanta for the holidays. I'm from Atlanta, and but I live in Texas now, and I live in Houston, and this person is in the Dallas area doing this.
Wow. So how do you think she might have gotten all this information?
I really don't know. One of the fraud specialists I've been working with said for the amount of information she has, it sounds like it may have come off of either a credit application or perhaps even a background check document. And I have not filled out any credit applications in, I don't even know, a couple of years. However, I have had some background checks done for my job and for some volunteer work that I've been doing.
So I guess, so let me start by asking you, what do you need from me today? What can I do?
Well, to be honest, I just wake up every morning feeling like I need to check my credit report again to see if she's done anything else.
Well, have you frozen your credit? Because then she can't.
Well, I have alerts on them. Because I'm dealing long distance with the police and we're doing it kind of over over fax machines and stuff, I won't have a copy of my police report until tomorrow, and I was told that I can't freeze my credit until I have the police report.
All right, so tomorrow you're going to get the police report, you're going to freeze your credit.
Yes.
And then that's going to take care of it. And
okay.
You should check with each of the credit reporting bureaus. If once you file an alert with one, all three of those are supposed to pick it up immediately.
Okay.
You want to make sure that's the case for all three of them.
I actually called each of them separately, or did it initiate it online separately because I was afraid they wouldn't do it.
Okay, well, that is one of the things they do coordinate together, but that's fine. It's, you've done it, and you're set. So you're going to file the police report, you're going to freeze your credit, and you're going to be able to sleep again. Now, working with the police for this kind of information, now, are the police, did they go and talk to this woman? It sounds like they know where she is.
Well, we only know where she is because of all the purchases that she's making. We don't know who she is. I know that there's a picture out there because she opened up a Sam's account, and I know they have to take your picture to have your membership card made.
Okay.
But as of this time, we don't know exactly who she is.
Okay, so the cops are working on it. Hopefully they're sort of being active about it. In the meantime, have you gone back to the different places that pulled the background check to discuss this issue?
I did. I called. She opened 10 cards that I know of in my name.
Wow.
Nine of them I was able to get in contact with and have shut down. She's charged almost $20,000 just over the weekend.
Wow.
But one of them does not offer a phone number to call in, and so I'm not able to get that one shut down. I've researched the name on the Internet, and it's just there is an address on it, so I'm guessing the only thing I can do at this point is write to them.
What company is it?
It's CBNA.
Okay. It's a bank.
And then there's an address below from Sioux City Falls or Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay. We're going to have Joel get on. I think we might have some contact information for them. We'll see while we're, you know, at the next commercial break, we'll see what we can get for you. Once you get these cards shut down, though, and you've got to pursue this woman, you will have to stay on point. I mean, once your credit's frozen, she's not going to be able to do any more damage, but you're going to have to be very careful. One thing to be thinking about is what happens when you file for your taxes. If she has your Social Security number, she may try to file taxes, a fake tax return, in a way that you would wind up getting a refund that she would collect, and it would really mess you up. So one thing you can do is get in touch with the IRS. And you can tell them that your identity has been compromised, and you can request a special PIN number that you have to use when you file your taxes. And that's how the IRS knows it's really you.
Okay.
And not somebody else. And that's something that you should look into. Once they file this person, you may be asked to press charges. I hope you will.
Oh, I absolutely will.
And it sounds like, you know, you're getting... did you go and get a new driver's license? They can look for a new... You can possibly get a new driver's license number. I'm not sure how Georgia works, but in some states you can do that.
Okay.
And you're just going to have to be really vigilant.
Okay. One of the things I was wondering is when my credit's frozen, am I able to, are they able to open something like a checking account in my name or a savings account in my name? And is there any way to prevent that?
She shouldn't be able to do those kinds of things once you've frozen your credit. But, you know, banks typically will run a credit check and look and see. They're supposed to. I guess I can't promise you it won't happen, but it's not supposed to happen.
Okay. Is she able to walk into the Social Security office and request a copy of my Social Security card?
She would have to have a lot of identification, but it's worth, I don't know. The answer is she might, but you can call the Social Security office or you can go to your local Social Security office and have a conversation with them, bring the police report once you have it, and figure out what methods they have to protect you. You'll also want to be careful. You don't sound nearly old enough for Medicare, but you don't want her applying for your Medicare benefits either.
Okay.
This is going to be okay.
Okay.
It's a pretty extreme case, and it's pretty upsetting, and it's a big violation, and I know you're upset. But I can tell you you caught it pretty quickly. You've been on it. You've done every single thing right that I would have done for myself. And I'm proud of you because you're standing up to this person, and it's going to be okay.
Thank you.
All right. Trying to have a happy Thanksgiving, and please stay in touch and let me know what you're going to do. Now, I'm going to put you on hold, and Joel's going to pick up, and in the commercial break, we're going to talk to you about CBNA, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Stand by, Christina. 404-872-0750, 21 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. 7 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark. So, you know what they say, 6 degrees of separation and you can reach anybody in the world. That's kind of the sort of the going expression. But a new study out today between Facebook and the University of Milan has concluded that any two Facebook users are on average only about 4.74 connections away from each other. Right? It's no longer 6 degrees of separation, it's 4.75. The study was conducted earlier this year. It looked at all 720-something million active Facebook users who among them had 69 billion friendships. 69 billion. Okay. The world only has like not even quite 7 billion people, I think. So that's a lot. Now, the study is just for the 700-odd million Facebook members, but it's so interesting how the world is shrinking. So 99.6% of all pairs of users are connected by just 6 hops, which is 5 degrees of separation, but 92% are connected only by 5 hops, which is 4 degrees of separation, and it's getting shorter. So in 2008, they did the same study, and instead of it being 4.75, it was 5.25. So you can see that the world is shrinking as we all get more connected. Pretty interesting. 29 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Everybody to the Clark Howard Show. It's 36 minutes past the hour. It's Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. I love this week. I love everybody who's coming over on Thursday and the fact that it's just a big family time, and I hope you've got some good plans as well. We'll be talking about Black Friday, which is now turning into Blacker Thursday, all the big sales, and of course, next Monday is Cyber Monday. I won't be with you on the 28th, but we'll get you all ready for it on Friday. Cyber Monday is supposed to be the day that everybody goes online, they go back to work, and they go online, and they start shopping. And we've seen cyber sales drive and get stronger year in, year out over the last 8-10 years. So really interesting to watch how the whole Black Friday experience is really changing thanks to the Internet and what that means for you. So we're going to spend lots of time tomorrow and Friday talking about this. And, of course, on Friday we'll do our annual Deals of the Day hour, the first hour of the show. We want you to call in and tell us what deals you found and what you didn't find. And hopefully nobody gets run over this year like we've seen the last couple of years. Before we get back to your calls, I want to just update you on what's going on. Yesterday, the National Association of Realtors released their monthly survey that said that the number of Americans who bought previously occupied homes, existing home sales, rose slightly that month, last month, to 1.4% over September, to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of about 4.97 million, just shy of 5 million. Now, that's not so bad, actually, the fact that more homes are being sold. Unfortunately, it's well below the 6 million existing home sales that economists say is consistent with a healthy housing market. And while we're slightly ahead of last year's sales, wait for it, it's still like the worst in 13 years, or the second worst in 13 years. Sales are actually measured when buyers are closing on their homes. And what's happening, according to the realtors, is that deals are falling apart way before you get to the closing. In fact, a third of all realtors said they have had at least one contract scuttled in October. That's up from 18% in September. That's a really big change. So why are contracts being canceled? They're declining mortgage applications. The inspectors are finding problems. The appraisals aren't coming in anywhere close to where they need to be. Or a buyer lost a job before the closing. Don't have a job, can't pay the mortgage, can't get a loan. So while the October increase in home sales are beating analysts' expectations, it's still a really, really difficult and crazy market. In addition, we're still seeing investors and foreclosures make up a huge percentage of the market, and that means that prices are still getting pushed down. So if you're buying homes for less than $100,000 or less than $50,000, those numbers are just absolutely growing, and home prices are continuing to fall. So, you know, whatever the declining prices and the increasing, the decreasing mortgage rates are not enough to boost sales enough to counteract those forces. Most economists talk about how home prices are going to keep falling by at least 5% through the rest of the year. Many forecasts aren't anticipating a rebound in prices, which, by the way, could just look at like 2% a year or 3% a year. It's not going to bounce up at 10%. So it's really interesting to kind of think about what that means. And then the median sales price dropped roughly 2% to $162,000 and in October. Zillow released its study today forecasting that, and this is what they believe, that the Case-Shiller 10 and 20 city composite home price index was going to look like it had a 3.2% decline in home prices from a year ago. The 10 city composite, 10 biggest cities, just under 3% decline. And the 20-city composite index over a 3% decline. And any decline is bad news for homeowners, that's for sure. 404-872-0750. Maggie joins us on the line. Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
My husband and I been having a really tough time lately making a mortgage payment because he lost his job 3 years ago. We were home builders, and our bank went under, and we had a house that was framed up, and we ended up financing it on credit cards, which then he was picking up work to pay the credit cards. It became a big mess that kind of snowballed, and we finally got everything settled, the debts and everything, and we're trying to start over and rebuild our credit. He's still self-employed. He's doing odd jobs here and there, mostly rental property maintenance and things. And we need to get our home loan modified or refinanced or something. And the bank that we're with is telling us that they're not going to talk to us because he's self-employed, and they won't even tell him what kind of programs are available because he's self-employed. And I don't know where to turn. I don't know who to talk to.
All right, let me give you a place to call.
Okay.
Call the Hope for Homeowners hotline. These are HUD-certified housing counselors, Credibility, which is the former Consumer Credit Counseling Services of Greater Atlanta, is one of the places that you'll be calling. The number is 888-995-HOPE. 888-995-HOPE. And they can go through all of the HAMP programs, the Making Home Affordable programs. There are supposed to be programs for unemployed people. Your husband's not unemployed. But there are supposed to be some programs that he would qualify for. Now, to be perfectly honest, only a fraction of those who should have qualified for these actually did, and they've made it very, very tough.
Okay.
So I can't promise that this is going to be the panacea that you want it to be. I would like it to be for you, trust me, really. But I don't know that it will be, but it's a place to start.
Okay.
If you get somebody on the phone who doesn't seem like they know what they're doing, I want you to hang up and try again.
Okay.
It's just not worth speaking with somebody who doesn't really know what they're talking about or doesn't seem like they want to help you.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
I hope this works out for you. And you can go, by the way, to the makinghomeaffordable.gov website.
Okay.
And you can read about all the programs that are there for yourself and what the requirements are. Now, it's a voluntary program, but the government wants to see people helped, and, you know, maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe you'll be one of the lucky ones.
Okay. All right.
All right?
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Maggie. I hope you and your husband have a happy Thanksgiving and it works out. 404-872-0750. Melinda joins us on the line from New Jersey. Hi, Melinda.
Hi. Good afternoon. I just have a quick question. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. I want to go into some investing, buying properties to basically invest in rent.
Uh-huh.
I just want to know, is there a website that I can go to apply for grants to help me with a down payment?
Not that I know of.
No.
Not for investment properties. If you were going to buy a home for yourself to live in, and you wanted, there are some special deals available for, say, HUD homes.
Okay.
And you could go to HUDHomestore.com. Which is now, it's now the website for all of HUD properties, which is FHA foreclosures.
Okay.
So in Georgia alone, I know you're not from Georgia, but if you were buying in Georgia, Georgia has something like 40,000 HUD homes for sale.
Okay.
I mean, the numbers are enormous. Maybe it's even 60,000 by now. These are really enormous numbers. So in your, you can search by state.
Okay.
So New Jersey, you can search by New Jersey. You can search, you know, by price.
Yes.
And you'll need a HUD-certified agent to help you make an offer. But if you're buying it for yourself, I mean, there are properties that you can get for a dollar down. There are properties you can get for $1,000 down. They don't want that to be the obstacle. But when it comes to investing in property, I don't really know of any grant programs that will help you do it.
Okay, so I'd have to basically come up with a down payment myself.
You do, and for investment properties, it's more than you think. You really need a big down payment, sometimes 25%, sometimes 35%. It just depends what the lender is looking for.
Okay, let me ask you one more question. On those programs where you could put down a dollar for a home, do you have a website that I can go to?
HUDHomestore.com. Those are FHA deals that are available. It's not
okay.
For every property. It's certain properties have these kind of special down payment programs.
Okay.
And sometimes it depends what your profession is. They have special down payment programs. But you can start there. You really want to work with somebody who's very savvy and sophisticated. If you're going to be an investor, and I've written a lot about this on my website at thinkglink.com, but if you want to be a real estate investor, you really need a team. You can't just go into it. You want to have an accountant and a lawyer and an inspector and a broker, and you need these people who are in your sort of business life who can help guide you and help you think about how it's going to work out. Because investing in property is a long-term commitment. It's not something you can dip in and out of, not something to be taken lightly. You may even be interested in a website called RealtyJoin.com, which I helped set up. RealtyJoin.com is a kind of a marketplace for brokers and investors, and you may find really interesting opportunities and deals there as well. 46 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with the calls. Edgar joins us on the line. Hi, Edgar.
Hello.
Edgar, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Welcome to the Clark Howard Show. How can I help you today?
Yes. I you gave some very interesting information a few minutes ago about home prices and home values. Like many people, my wife and I are underwater in our home value.
Sure.
We bought a house for about $285,000, and now it's valued at about $225,000, and so we tried to refinance in the past and didn't have much luck. And now I'm hearing these commercials on the radio in different places about companies that can help you refinance your home basically for more than you paid for it. And, you know, there are incentives where you don't have to like, pay closing costs, supposedly. I'm wondering if it's actually true, if there are opportunities for families to refinance their homes or government incentives or anything like that. Because we need some relief here.
Edgar, do you have an FHA loan?
Yes.
So there's a program called FHA Refinance for Borrowers in Negative Equity. It's known, the short word is FHA Short Refi.
Okay.
You can find out about this program at the website I just talked about, makinghomeaffordable.gov. Now, if you are current on your mortgage, are you current?
Yes.
But you owe more than your house is worth. The FHA Short Refinance is designed to help you, and if your current lender agrees to participate, and they're all supposed to, then they will be required to reduce the amount you owe on your first mortgage to no more than 97.75% of your home's current value. So that's what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Now, you may be eligible if your mortgage is not owned or guaranteed by Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA, or USDA. You owe more than your house is worth, you're current on your payments, you occupy the house as a primary resident, you qualify for the new loan under standard FHA underwriting requirements, your total debt does not exceed 55% of your monthly gross income, and you must not have been convicted within the last 10 years of felony, larceny, theft, fraud, or forgery, money laundering, or tax evasion in connection with a mortgage or real estate transaction. So what I'd like you to do is go online to makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Right.
Now, the participation is supposed to be voluntary, but my understanding is that the government has said if you are an FHA lender, you're supposed to do this.
Okay.
There is a phone number. I'm going to give this to you. It's also online. Do you have a pen and paper?
Yes, I do.
877-622-8525. 877-622-8525, and you can contact also the HUD Housing Advisors, 888-995-HOPE. And this is supposed to be inexpensive. It is supposed to happen for people like you who are on time with your payments. You just need some relief. So go to makinghomeaffordable.gov, click on Programs. It's the second blue button. And then it will say, just so you know where to go, get help with fallen home value. And that'll be the place that you can actually read all the stuff that I just read and more. There's always more, right? Always more information. You can get information there about the FHA short refi. And Edgar, let me know how that goes, and happy Thanksgiving to you. It's 50 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. 56 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Kling sitting in for Clark, and I'll be back tomorrow and Friday as well. So glad you could join us. Let's see if we can take one quick call before we get off and hand it over to Sean Hannity. Richard joins us on the line from Gainesville. Hi, Richard.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I just got a question for you. Like I told you, your screener there's a thing on the internet. I've got drilling experience such as water well drilling. I was a rod and bit changer. And there's a website called www.oilcareers.com. And they want $197 and some odd cents to join, and they guarantee you a job within 90 days.
You know, this is the kind of thing that makes me very nervous, because I don't know this website. I have no experience with it. I haven't heard anything about it. But It makes me very concerned when somebody starts to say, I guarantee you a job. Now, maybe there are a lot of jobs in this industry, and maybe there are ways to get a job. But I just think that you really have to understand that I just think it's very hard to guarantee you a job. And what do? They give you your $197 back. But after 90 days, it's too late to contest that with the credit card that you've used. So that makes me a little bit uneasy, and I'm just not sure that you should be relying on that. One thing I always tell people, if you don't know about a company and you don't know what you should do, go online to a Google search engine or pick Bing, whatever you want. Type in the name and then type in the word complaints. Because what will immediately pop up is if there are any complaints about that company and what people are really saying about it. And that's what you want to see. You want to see the conversation so that you understand what is actually happening to people along the way. And once you see that, then you're going to understand what's really right or what's really wrong, and you can make a decision. Happy Thanksgiving, Richard. Thanks so much for your call. Folks, the music is starting, and that means my time is up. Sean Hannity is in next, and then we don't have Eric Erickson today because we've got a game. So we have UGA playing tonight at 7:05, and after that, we've got Dave Ramsey. So stay tuned for a great night. But Sean Hannity is next. My thanks to Joel and to Ellen for an amazingly well-produced show. As always, nothing less than I would expect. And I hope all of you will join me back here tomorrow. We'll have the latest economic news, real estate news, answer your questions, and talk about Black Friday and Cyber Monday here on Thanksgiving week on News Talk WSB.